the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey guys, good morning.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Dave's back. He's frying fish later on this afternoon.
No, I ate them fish.
We're just looking forward to a great day.
I ate them fish. And you know when you had a long enough vacation is when you had to, when I got to put on my Waze to find my way back to work.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Yep.
I
forgot how to get here, y'all.
Well, you know.
As they say, where there's a will, there's a ways. And
there he goes.
Dave's here.
At least he used Waze.
Let's
I'm going fishing again. Bye, y'all.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Cleanse us, Lord, by the saving baptism of your Son's passion, so that on the feast of St. James, whom you willed to be the first among the apostles to drink of Christ's chalice of suffering, we may offer a sacrifice pleasing to you as well. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. St. James the Great, pray for us.
Pray for us.
One of the sons of thunder. Boom.
That's a little sound effect there.
There you go. We'll learn more about this saint later on in today's show.
I know. I like when we have an apostle as our feast day.
Yes. It's a big one.
Same. Me too. Well, we have a great show for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area. We will give you details about that is coming up in 9 minutes. And you can find all of these events at our website at ccmedia.live. Just click on events and news. Steve Ray joins us in 18 minutes. He's a Catholic convert and pilgrimage leader. Well, he has a new book coming out in a couple of months, but he wants to tell us a little bit more about it so you can maybe pre-order it. You know, anything with Steve Ray, you'll learn something new. So looking forward to talking to him about his book today called Genesis, a Bible study guide and commentary. And in 35 minutes, Josie Duke joins us. She's a Catholic theologian and teacher over at St. George School in Baton Rouge. And she will be, well, she's already in the studio with David and Damian. Yeah. Hey, Josie.
Good morning.
She heard about Dave's fish fry.
That's why I'm here.
Always looking forward to having Josie join us before the school year starts. So thank you so much, Josie, being in the studio today. Looking forward to your topic. And in 48 minutes, author Kimberly Begg joins us to talk about her book called Unbreakable, Saints Who Inspired Saints to Moral Courage. So looking forward to learning a little bit more about saints. I like learning about the saints I've never even knew existed because those end up becoming my favorite ones. And then when they pop up, you know, once a year, you're like, oh yeah, I remember that one. So because there's so many out there.
Yeah.
So I love learning a little bit more.
We need those background stories. You know, that's like, look, these guys can do it. Maybe I can do it too. They're just as human as we are.
We all are future saints. That's right.
We can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if they had to deal with the heat like we did.
I'm sure some of them.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't have air conditioning.
Just for those who didn't know, you know, we are experiencing, June was the hottest month in of the year. July could turn out to be the hottest month ever. And we're working on it. And if you enjoyed yesterday, well, you're going to enjoy today as well. If you didn't, well, you're going to have about another 6 days of suffering to come because the weather conditions are not going to change now through Sunday, meaning the highs are going to be close to 100 every day.
Gosh.
And the heat is more bearable, though, because it's dry. The dew point is low right now.
Good.
And so that means not much humidity. Again, the highs are going to be in the 90s. No rain expected until maybe Saturday. In the meantime, everybody is in the 70s except New Orleans. It's 82, and it's also 5 after the hour on this Tuesday morning on Wake Up.
I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. The mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
On the heels of Jesus' alarming prediction of his death, the mother of James and John bounds on the scene to capture thrones for her two boys. It may well be that James and John were behind this power grab for choice positions and promotions. How hurt Jesus must have felt when, after confiding his coming sorrows, he encounters vainglory and social climbing, but no understanding or sympathy. Jesus' amazingly sensitive and patient reply carries no rebuke. He simply deepened their understanding of his messiahship and their role in his kingdom. Their insensitivity and Jesus' faithfulness reminds us of the passage from Psalm 73, which aptly fits us spiritually. "I was stupid and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am constantly with you and hold you in my hand." Jesus endures many hurts, even from those who eventually become his saints and martyrs. "We can," replied James and John to Jesus' question. We easily overestimate our capacities and talents when self-promotion is at stake, but we quickly grow disheartened at the mere shadow of difficulties along the way. The boast of heroism is easily made when far from the danger. Superficial enthusiasm with very few inner resources for the long haul is a fundamental problem we all face in the spiritual life. When beginners are wrapped up in spiritual fervor, it is an easy trap to view ourselves as exceptional and exempt from the tough labor in the spiritual life pertaining only to the rest of mankind. Anyone who thinks that daily carrying one's cross is easy has never tried to lift it. The reaction of the other apostles demonstrated that they too failed to understand Jesus, was the only one in the group not vying for a promotion. But instead of walking away in exasperation at their infantile desires and quarrels, Jesus used their failure to reach deeply into the truth of his heart. "The only power that bestows life is the love that serves," something Pope Francis has been stressing. We only truly learn this lesson when we surrender to a heart-to-heart encounter with Jesus. But how many of us are courageous enough to abandon ourselves to it? Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, James, in honor of St. James Feast Day. Dave's liking my humor these days.
Yeah.
And also Father Chris, and we have a number of events we want to happen to share with you today. One in particular coming up tomorrow. This is big, folks. Pay attention. Holy Family Catholic Church Parish in Pass Christiane. It's on Evangeline Road. There's going to be a presentation by Father Vincent Lampert. He is exorcist of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. He's going to be near us and in the area, 6:30 tomorrow at Holy Family Church. And it is going to be a great talk, and he's going to not only share his personal life and his stories in regards to being an exorcist for the Catholic Church, but also he's going to have a number of stories to share, and I'm sure there will be a little question and answer session to go along with that. One thing of note is when he first became an exorcist and was asked to be one 16 years ago, there were only 12 priests in the United States who were performing exorcisms. Now, under his leadership as well as a mentorship, today there's 125 in the United States. And the reason is the devil is out there, folks. And he is for real. And Father Lampert is going to be sharing all those stories with you tomorrow. So again, 6:30, Holy Family Church in Past Christian. Make it if you can.
You think it, if it's 150 of them and they're busy, we got a problem, right?
We always have.
He's there, and he's not going to lighten up. The fourth annual Women's Morning of Reflection will be taking place Saturday, August 12th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Holy Family Catholic Church in Luling, located on Holy Family Lane. This is a Holy Family kind of morning, isn't it?
So far.
The title of the retreat is Our Blessed Mother, A Woman for All Seasons, with the talks given by Sarah Denny. Oh, we love Sarah Denny.
Yes.
The cost is $20 a person, and you must register by August 6th, so you do have time. For more information, go to ccmedia.live.
Yes, please support Sarah. She's such a good friend and a wonderful supporter of Catholic Community Media, and you will not regret listening to her speak. She always has great information to share. Well, later this week, a group of young adults through the Archdiocese of New Orleans, CYO, and Youth and Young Adult Ministry Office will begin their pilgrimage to Fatima in Portugal to visit the Shrine of Our Lady of Fatima and attend World Youth Day 2023. I'm just really excited. I can't even speak. The Next Global week? Catholic Gathering and visit from Pope Francis is going to be a wonderful event. And one of those items that they want to make sure they pack with them are your prayers. So message us on Facebook or put in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video what your prayer intentions are and how they can pray for you. And I will make sure that I give these to James over at the CYO office before they head out to Portugal for World Youth Day. So if you have any intentions, make sure you let us know.
Okay, that sounds good. And we'll be telling you more about World Youth Day as we get a little closer to it next week. In fact, our good friend Alan Migliorato, who's going to be in our area next month, that'll be our topic on next Monday when he and I get to talking. In the meantime, Steve Ray, he's coming your way on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 25th. Today we celebrate St. James the Apostle. Today's saint and his brother John were called by Jesus as they worked in their father's fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee. James the Greater, as he is sometimes called, was among Jesus' closest friends. With his brother and Peter, James was privileged to witness the transfiguration, the raising to life of the daughter of Jairus, and the agony in Gethsemane. The Gospels tell us something of the temperament of these brothers. In one incident, both James and John, or their mother, depending on which Gospel you're reading, asked if they could have the seats of honor in the kingdom. Jesus assured them that such an honor was not his to give, but belonged to his heavenly Father. Another time, when a Samaritan village did not give Jesus a grand welcome, James and John were ready to call down fire from heaven to destroy it. Jesus' nickname for them, Sons of Thunder, hints at their great zeal, if not their lively tempers. Apparently the first of the apostles to be martyred, James' death is recorded in Acts of the Apostles. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It's almost 19 after the hour on this happy Tuesday morning. So glad you could join us on Wake Up. Thanks for watching us also on Catholic Life TV in Baton Rouge. And you're joining Gabby Smith Yours truly, Damian Collado and David Dawson, as we talk to our friend Steve Ray, Catholic convert, as we all know, a man who likes to travel the world and once in a while takes time out to write a book. And in particular, that's what we're going to chat about this morning, a book entitled Genesis, a Bible study guide and commentary. Good morning, Steve, and happy feast day of St. James, my brother.
Good morning. I'm glad to be with you. Yeah, I love St. James. He's buried in Santiago de Compostela in France.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the end of the El Camino, when all the people go hiking on the El Camino. They come
right
there. And that's where he's buried. And I love that Jesus called him Boanerges, those two guys. I think he said it with a smile. If you don't think Jesus had a sense of humor,
yeah,
those two young whippersnappers want to call fire down from heaven. They want to sit on his right and his left. I think the other apostles, they just all rolled their eyes and go, you two guys, you know. And Jesus calls them Boanerges, you're the sons of thunder. And he had to say it with a great big smile on his face.
Yeah, they were teasing me. That's what I mentioned that this morning as well. And I think of thunder and lightning for some reason when I think of those two. So you know there's something brewing in their minds and in their hearts for the Lord. But let's focus on your current work. It won't be out until September 1st, I believe. But
no,
in the meantime,
it's out.
Oh, it is out because
it's out for sale.
Barnes and Noble or Amazon said September 1st.
Yeah, you don't want those guys.
Yeah, but I'm selling tons of them already off my website. I'm selling copies.
Well, I bet you're even autographing them if they order them through your website or a special website, huh?
Yep. Okay. If you get them on CatholicConvert.com, they're all signed.
So, awesome, brother.
Nice.
I really enjoyed writing the book. It's the most important book of the Bible, I think, because it tells us where we came from, what our purpose is, how we got here, why we got here. Also, it tells us why there's problems and sin and difficulties and troubles in the world because of what happened in the garden in chapter 3. But it gives us a whole overview. God is revealing to us why we're here, and that life has purpose and meaning, and there's something outside of the universe, namely God, who created it and created us in his image. If we didn't have that revelation, we wouldn't know where we came from. With our five senses, smelling, tasting, seeing, hearing, and touching, that's only those five kind of puny senses are the only way we have to understand the world around us, and it has to be translated by the gray matter between our ears, our brains. And without that, we wouldn't know why we're here, where we're going, where we came from. And that's why Genesis is so important, because it's God giving us a revelation to tell us about himself and who we are.
Yeah, I believe, and you're going to focus on that in the book. That's the beauty of it. And you break it down to where it's easy to understand, I hope. I didn't get a chance to see it. Dave got the book.
Yeah, I'm afraid
and
I stole it.
He didn't share it with anyone.
No. So I took it home.
Yeah.
It was so good. I selfishly took it home.
Well,
so.
And because of that, I'm basically asking questions as a future reader of the book. So I'm guessing there's some good life lessons in there that we can learn from Genesis, and you're able to break it down and tie the two together.
Genesis, people are intimidated by it. It's the second longest book in the Bible. Second longest, 50 chapters. By the way, Jeremiah is the longest book of the Bible with 33,000 plus words. Genesis has 32,000 plus words.
Huh.
But it's a fantastic story, and I want to bring out all of the most important theological aspects. Some of the words are very important, what they mean in Hebrew that we won't get in English if we read it in English, but it also reads like a novel. It is one of the most exquisite bits of literary writing in the whole world. The way that Moses and the writer of Genesis, the way that it's written is just exquisite. The story, the way it develops, the way it weaves and ties back and forth, it's kind of like an orchestra. And it's just a gorgeous book. But what I wanted to do is make it very accessible to people. I tell stories. I do apply it. And I've had people tell me it reads like a novel. Once you start reading it, you can't set it down.
Right.
And one of the best compliments I had was the top editor at Ignatius Press. She's been with them 40-plus years. she said to me, Steve, I had a very difficult time editing your book because I kept getting engrossed in the story, and 10 pages in, I go, oh, I'm supposed to be editing, and I have to go back and start editing it. But that was one. And another person told me they read chapter 2 about God creating man and woman and the purpose and the whole theology of the body and the way the family was. That they had tears running down their eyes as they read it because it was so meaningful to them. So I think it's a easy book for people to read, but it's also, I think, going to be used in universities and seminaries for studying the book of Genesis.
Well, that's what my next question was. So it is for the average reader, the person who really wants to get a better understanding of Genesis, and at the same time, could it be used for academics?
Oh, absolutely, because it's easy to follow. It goes chapter by chapter. There's 51 chapters. So the first one's an introduction, and then each chapter goes with the 50 that are make up the book of Genesis. And, for example, in the book of Genesis, there is a tremendous amount of information embedded in that book. For example, the Trinity. Even in the very beginning, it said, let us make man in our image. So what does that us mean? And the very first two verses, you have God speaking, God the Father, he speaks his word, that's his son, Jesus is the word, and the Spirit is hovering over the water. So even in the first two verses, you see the Trinity, the Father, the Word, and this dove. And so the whole thing is like that. And all through you see also that prefigures Christ, and that there's all the sacraments are prefigured there. You see them in picture form. So what I do is I always bring all that out. And Abraham, when the highlight of the whole book, the pinnacle, is when Abraham takes his son Isaac. And people say, well, how in the world could God command somebody to kill their son? But interestingly enough, in the Hebrew, he doesn't command him. He only requests. He says, will you do this for me in the Hebrew? So it's so poignant because Abraham says, not only will I do what you command of me, but I'll also do what you wish of me.
So, Steve, how long did it take you to write the book?
Well, it's been in the process for 10 years. I would say the last year, I spent a lot of time finalizing it in the last year. And then Ignatius edited it, threw it back to me, but I'd say in the last year or two, it consumed a lot of my time.
I bet. Well, I guess when you had your knee surgery, you had a lot of time to write.
Well, Steve, I have a question. Well, I have a statement. First of all, I don't know if you have motion in your backyard or something, because I can hear your ring alerts going off like crazy. I don't know if you're wailing your arms or something.
I thought it was wind chimes.
Yeah. No, and second, I'll tell you what it is. It's our grandkids.
Oh, we just had
three grandkids. They just arrived.
I can hear those alerts.
It's a bell ringing up.
Yeah. That is great.
Well, and my question is, have you been to these places in the book of Genesis? I don't know if that's an ignorant question, you know, because I don't know.
Oh, no, it's not, because when you, Genesis covers a lot of territory. For example, Abraham didn't come from Israel. He came from Ur. You are, and that's in Iraq. It's near the Tigris and Euphrates River. So, yes, we went there when we filmed our documentary on Abraham. So one of the things that made it fun for me to write the book, and I think it's going to be very informative for people as well, is I've been to all those places mentioned in the book of Genesis. I've been there and filmed there and wrote there, so on. So I'm telling you about Abraham from the place where he lived. It's really
nice.
And he was not a believer for 75 years. He was a pagan, and they served other gods, it says in the Bible. And God told him, get up and go, 75 years old. This is why he's the father of faith and not me. Because I would have said, you know what? I want to know what kind of pension I'm going to have, what kind of health insurance. I'd like to see the deed to the land, the deed to the land before I go. See, but Abraham just went. He just did it. That was 1,600 miles.
Gosh,
that he had to travel
with
flocks and herds. They could only go 6 miles a day, so calculate that, how long it took him to get there.
Exactly.
Wow.
Because they didn't have Uber or anything back then.
Got
a question before we wrap up. I know you do going a lot of pilgrimages, and any for kids and families and coming up? Do you ever do that?
Oh,
since you mentioned grandkids?
These I have 20 grandkids. Not all of them are here right now, but a bunch of them descended upon us at 6 o'clock this morning.
Awesome.
They're staying for a week. Yes, on Christmas, every Christmas break, we have a family Christmas Holy Land pilgrimage. So we go over the Christmas break, and we always have families.
Nice.
And the bus is full of kids and parents, and a lot. What's happening now, almost every trip we've gone on, grandparents bring their grandchildren, because grandparents have money and they have time, and they realize they want their kids to stay Catholic, so they bring them with us, and we have the whole trip geared towards also with for the kids, so that they are rooted in the Bible. We give them like an intensive Bible fun week, and the kids, it really has a huge impact on the kids.
I can only imagine.
So every year we do that over Christmas break for families.
That's awesome. And they go to CatholicConvert.com to learn more and sign up for that, and also learn about your book, right?
Yep.
Okey-do.
Absolutely.
Well, brother, as always, thank you so much for being with us. And anything you want to add before we go? Oh, you're okay, buddy.
Well, just I appreciate what you guys are doing, and I hope all the folks in your area are supporting you financially, because Catholic radio, I think, is the most important thing happening for the Catholic Church today in America.
Thank you for that as well.
Yes.
Okay, Steve Ray, thank you so much. Go to CatholicConvert.com. Coming up next on Wake Up, boy, we are rocking and rolling this morning on this feast day of St. James. Miss Josie Duke, she's here to chat with David Dawson.
Five past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith, and Josie Duke is in studio with us again. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning.
Happy to have you here again. And we're kind of picking up where we left off, because we were just getting started. Because we're talking, the topic that we talked about last week was we're having a Eucharistic revival.
Right.
And we were getting into what the Eucharist is and how we take it for granted, and we really need to get into what is going on here, right?
Right. Last time I was here, we talked about the Old Testament foreshadowings of the Eucharist,
right,
and how God was preparing his people for the great gift of the sacrament of Holy Communion.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when the Pew Research Study first came out, the first thing I said to myself was, who are they talking to? That only 30% of Catholics believe that the true presence is really a thing. And I'm like, who did they ask?
That's
It's like they didn't talk to my friends. So I pulled the numbers. And it turns out that the miracle of transubstantiation is something that is getting lost on people for any number of reasons. It may be because when you hear the word transubstantiation, your eyes start to glaze over.
Yeah,
it's like, what?
Big old,
it's
big
a big word. What is that? What
right,
is that?
Right.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about what actually happens when the priest takes that bread and wine and it becomes the Eucharist, because it looks the same as it did five minutes before, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So in the universe, we have things called substance and accidents, and this comes from Aristotle's Metaphysics. Now, before your eyes glaze over, it's okay. Before your eyes glaze over, it's really not that hard.
Right.
So, if I asked you to raise your left hand, and then raise your right hand, or you know, extend your leg, or if you got up out of that chair,
turn yourself around.
Doing it all.
That's what it's all about.
The studio.
I know, right?
I like that.
If you got up out of the chair and walked into the hallway and came back, your location has changed, your position has changed, your hair color can change, your weight can change. These are things about you that are called accidents.
Okay.
And by that, we don't mean I made a mistake and reached for the sugar when I wanted the salt. I mean, these are things about you that can change your mood, right? Yeah, the things you're passionate about. But your substance is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So even if, God forbid, you lost a limb, you're still Dave. You're still Damien. There's nothing that anybody can do or say to take that substance of humanness from you, right?
Right.
Your substance remains the same. The accidents about you change. But the miracle of the Eucharist is that it is the exact opposite when it comes to the Eucharist. The accidents remain, but the substance
changes.
Hence the word transubstantiation.
Okay.
The prefix trans means to change, as we're all familiar with by now, I'm sure.
Right.
So in the miracle of the Eucharist, what happens is, you know, we bring forth our gifts of bread and wine to the altar at the beginning of the liturgy of the Eucharist as our offertory gifts, right?
Right.
And it looks like bread and wine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this might be why some of our Protestant brothers and sisters have a difficult time understanding what's happening, even some Catholics, because it's just bread.
Mm-hmm.
It was when it came up the aisle, but it's not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because the miracle is that the Holy Spirit now, through the vessel of the priest, changes the substance of what that bread and wine is into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. And we've talked before about Eucharistic miracles.
Right, right.
And how, as often as there's been a Eucharistic miracle, and as often as the Eucharist has been tested when these things have happened, the result is always scientifically the same.
Mm-hmm.
It is the
mm-hmm.
striated cardiac tissue of a man in his early 30s.
Same blood type?
Mm-hmm. Same blood type.
Yep, yep.
The reason it stays hidden behind the accidents of bread and wine is because, first of all, who doesn't love bread?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
These are natural elements that the Lord uses to kind of disguise himself. Because if it always turned into flesh, it would be abhorrent to us.
We wouldn't be, right.
Right? He knows us, and that's not what he wants. He wants to be he's so desperate to be in communion with us that he's willing to give us literally his heart.
Mm-hmm.
So those of us who have a devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you probably also have a Eucharistic devotion as well, because mm-hmm. they are so closely connected. You can't have one without the other, truly.
The only question constantly comes up for me when I'm talking to people about mm-hmm. the Mass and such, when does the transubstantiation take place? It's during the Eucharistic prayer. Is it the elevation, or is it when he's holding his hands over it, asking the Holy Spirit to change, you know?
Yeah, you know, and that's been debated for quite some time among theologians.
I've always heard the answer is yes.
Answer is yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when Father has his hands extended over the bread and wine,
yeah,
and as he's praying over it, he makes the sign of the cross over it.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, it is now the body and blood,
Christ,
soul, and divinity of Jesus.
Okay.
You know, which is why, you know, if you take the bread and wine and process it up the altar and you give it to the priest and it accidentally falls onto the floor because somebody's dropped it,
it's bread.
It's mm-hmm. embarrassing, but yeah, it's not a big deal.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember years ago I was at a Mass for the Feast of Pentecost, and the wine had already been consecrated. It is now his precious blood. And the sleeve of the priest's vestments caught of the goblets, one of the chalices, and it fell over, and the entire church went,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Because mm-hmm. it's not wine anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It is now his precious blood, and now that's something else that we need to deal with. That's
and the fact
different.
That the entire church reacted that way is a good sign.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right,
mm-hmm.
that's right. So what can we do to change this number, right? What is it that we can do to help more people understand what this beautiful miracle is? Well, first thing you can do is, if you don't have a copy of the Catechism, get one.
Mm-hmm.
And then start at Article 3, beginning at paragraph 1322. And it goes quite a number of paragraphs talking about the miracle of transubstantiation.
Okay.
And I know when people hear the word catechism, their eyes glaze over. It's like, well, that's a theological book. I can't read it.
That's pretty easy to understand.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
I'll make a recommendation. Father Mike Schmidt's Catechism
yes,
in a
podcast.
Year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That is a good way to understand the Catechism.
Well, absolutely.
And
mm-hmm.
it's a day-by-day, yes, spoon-fed. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, and in a year, you'll definitely complete it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Just like the Bible in a year,
mm-hmm.
which is,
yes,
you know,
yeah,
opened the Scripture to so many people.
But, Josie, you're right. That there's so much information mm-hmm. in it. It scares people.
But it's not so theologically advanced that you can't understand it.
Right,
right.
You know? Right. And yeah, I think people are afraid. It's like, oh, I can't understand that. You can
yeah.
read, right? Well, if you can read, you can understand yeah. it. And at the beauty of the Catechism is underneath you've got footnotes to other places
exactly.
in Scripture, to the writings of the saints, to the writings mm-hmm. of the popes, to, I mean, it takes you everywhere. It's amazing. So get familiar with
yeah.
that section of the Catechism. Refamiliarize yourself with John chapter 6. Because this is where Jesus talks about, if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he does something in John 6, and I've said this before, he does something here, our Lord does, that he doesn't do anywhere else in Scripture. he repeats himself.
Mm-hmm.
He says it over and over and over. Last time I counted, it was like 12 times he says the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he means what he says, and he says what he means. So, you know, go back and read through those passages. It's not a symbol.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the fact that they rejected the idea, they wouldn't have rejected a symbol. Right? They reject the idea because it was too hard to take.
Right. People don't die for a symbol.
Yeah.
People aren't martyred for a symbol. They're martyred for the truth of what he is. And you know who really knows who he is Satan. Why do you think Satan worshipers and people who delve into witchcraft try to sneak into Catholic churches to desecrate a host?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They know who
he
is.
They know what it is.
They know who he is. Yeah. We should as well. So surround yourself with beauty. Surround yourself with saints who have a devotion to the Eucharist. Surround yourself with beautiful art. Focus on him. Read the scriptures. Get closer to him. That's really what he wants. And then you will understand what is really happening.
So it is going to take a little discipline, but check it out. Read it, and you won't be disappointed.
And ask questions. You know?
Because there's one thing that I would just love to see come back is a genuine excitement of what is going on the altar.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I need that myself.
Yeah.
I need that myself. I have to pray for that before I go into Mass, you know.
A little gentle reminder doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Josie, once again, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And I know you're coming back. You got to come back.
I will.
All right.
Thank you.
Because we got a lot to cover here. So, all right. When we come back, Gabby's going to be talking to Kimberly Begg, saint who inspired saints to moral courage, something like that. Gabby, you'll tell us.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Inspired saints.
Yeah, that. On Wake Up.
It is 48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Our next guest is Kimberly Begg. She is a Catholic author, and today we're talking about her book called Unbreakable, Saints Who Inspired Saints to Moral Courage. Dave, say that 5 times really, really fast.
No, you can't say it once.
Good morning, Kimberly. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, well, I love talking about different saints, learning about new saints, talking about my favorite saints or saints to be. Tell us a little bit more about your wonderful book.
Well, a book to address, I think, is a really big problem today, which is that we live in a time of great confusion when a lot of Catholics are trying to find a way around the cross for themselves and their children. You know, this idea that our path to heaven can never be free of suffering and sacrifice as living in sacred scripture or church tradition. And one of the great traditions that the church gives us is the
Kimberly, I'm sorry, we have such a really bad connection. I'm thinking we're going to call you right back because I really want to talk about this. You are absolutely right. Kimberly was just talking about how we live in a world with great confusion, and it's coming for our children. It's coming for our families. And I think that we really need to focus on some of these saints and maybe introduce our children to these wonderful saints. There's so many wonderful children's books out there that can help our children get to know some of these famous ones.
I think what she was talking about is from what I hear is people avoiding the cross is what I can tell. And that is so important. She's absolutely right. We have a tendency to run for comfort nowadays, and that's not what makes saints. So this should be interesting. We're reconnecting with her now because she was coming in too choppy and that information was way too valuable. Huh?
I absolutely agree. Yeah. You can actually find this book at tambooks.com if you were wondering. I did link this in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. But, you know, the one thing, Kimberly, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
There you go.
Great. And it sounds so much better. So let's continue on. We're talking about our families and our kids and embracing that cross or maybe avoiding that cross.
Well, you know, this idea that sacrifice and suffering can be avoided on our path to heaven has no grounding in sacred scripture or the traditions of the church. And one of, as you said earlier, one of the most beautiful traditions that the church gives you are the lives of the saints. Throughout the history of the church, we have courageous examples of men and women and children who have lived their faith courageously in the world, and their stories are a gift to us. So what I wanted to do in this book was highlight the lives of some of our most courageous saints and the saints who inspired them the most in their lives to prove this point and to share the wonderful truth that saints inspire saints. But I also wanted to be very intentional about highlighting the moments in their lives where they were very courageous that helped them develop a habit of being courageous out in the world.
Kimberly, how can this help the modern parent? Technology seems to be just advancing just light years every single day, to the point where it can terrify a lot of us because our children are now growing up with this technology or will be. Mm-hmm. And who knows how it'll be 5, 10, 15 years from now. So how can these saints help us as modern day parents?
We need to build a culture in our home rooted in truth, in all of the eternal truths. And understanding, knowing, sharing, talking about the lives of the saints is probably the easiest way, the most fruitful way, the most enjoyable way to do that. That the saints give us such fascinating stories. And no matter when they lived in their lives, you know, what area of the world they are, what age they lived in, their struggles are very similar to the struggles that we face today. You know, right now, we should never be handing over a smartphone to our children, to our teens. Most parents will tell you that the reason they give their kids phones is so they can connect with them. But we all have many options. So my children have Gab phones. We can text them. They have sports all over. They go to schools far away. We do need to be in contact with them. But they do not need access to the internet and the social media influencers that research tell us have more influence over teens' lives than their own parents, their teachers, and their coaches.
Well, I do agree with you with the social media that it can be quite a dangerous place. And that's something that I think a 10, 11, and 12-year-old should not personally experience quite yet, you know. And I remember at 13 begging my mom for a MySpace and being rejected until Facebook later came along. But of course, that was a different time. But Kimberly, this is such a good book. How did you go about deciding the saints to be in your book? Because as you know, when you look at the list of Catholic saints, it just goes on and on.
Well, this may be bold to say, but I feel like they chose me. I went very seamlessly from one to the next.
Works.
Blessed Jerzy Papiuszko was the first saint that I wrote about. I have loved him for many years. And a couple years ago, I made this really amazing discovery that his favorite saint as a boy was St. Maximilian Kolbe. He actually learned about St. Maximilian Kolbe at his grandmother's house, reading Knights of the Immaculata, which was Kolbe's newspaper that had a circulation of nearly 1 million. So he learned about St. Maximilian Kolbe. It inspired him. He had other mentors and saints who inspired him throughout his life, too. But that made me wonder about more of these amazing stories. And then just one by one, they just sort of appeared to me.
Goodness.
Wow. Amazing. Who is this book geared toward? What age?
Parents, primarily, because we are the primary educators of our children. But then also younger children for read-alouds and age 12 and up for independent reading.
That's how it works. The saints pick you, and then you ask yourself why. And then when you start reading more into it, then it kind of it makes sense. So I love this. Kimberly Begg, Catholic author, her book Unbreakable, Saints Who Inspired Saints to Moral Courage. Where can we pick up our copy?
TanBooks.com, KimberlyBegg.com, and Amazon.
Great. And please support your local Catholic bookstore. We have many around us that you can support in our listening area, and they can also order it for you if they do not have it in stock. Kimberly, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much.
All right. Looks like we have some construction going on in the back, if you don't mind. Live radio.
it's so awesome that there's so much information out there nowadays for folks raising kids, to become Catholic and such, and compared to what there was out there, I want to say back in my day, but really way back when, you really had to dig for information, and when we really needed it, and there is so much out there right now. I'm excited about this, because I think that's a wonderful book for parents, and boy, is there a need for help and information, you know, when it comes to stuff like that?
Yeah. That's why we exist.
That's why we're here, too.
That's right.
To promote those folks.
Exactly. I do want to make a quick mention. There will be a St. Charbel Healing Mass tonight at 6 o'clock at Our Lady of Mercy Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. Confession will be at 5, Mass at 6, and then the healing service will take place afterward.
Very good. Okay.
And speaking of saints, St. James, boy, he's been with us today. It's been a lot of thunder going on here at the radio station in a good way, and hopefully you've enjoyed it as well. We're going to wrap up with a prayer to our buddy. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O glorious Apostle St. James, whose very name is a symbol of warfare and victory, obtain for us strength and consolation in the unending warfare of this life, that having constantly and generously followed Jesus, we may be victors in the strife and deserve to receive the victor's crown in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Johnny Aber joins us with his gospel reflection. Teresa Moll, Catholic author, talks about something we've been hearing for quite some time, how to woke-proof your life. That'll be an interesting and relevant conversation we'll have with Teresa. Kitty Cleveland joins us to talk about a Blessed Virgin Mary event at Our Lady of Hope and the St. Louis and Ninth Art Society. Have a wonderful day.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.